God is good, and all the time. My name is John, and I am blessed to serve as the pastor at your Hallmark. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all of you, and thank you for being here on this beautiful Sunday morning. As Billy already mentions, if I haven't had a chance to meet you, my wife Joy and I will be in the foyer right there where all the blue gift bags are, and we would love to just say hi. So stop by and say hi to us right after the service this morning. And then I also, you can wave at us if you don't want to stop, because there may be a rush for the chocolate chip cookies, I understand. So all of you ladies, when we're dismissed, there'll be cookies out there. But I also want to encourage you that maybe typically on a Sunday morning we have connect groups that meet before worship, and then we have some other, many of our adult and youth connect groups meet after service. And today we have the special privilege. We have a missionary family from Hallmark here with us today. Steve and Katie Hoyt. Could you guys just stand for a moment? I want to welcome them. They are, I want to encourage you. So when we dismiss, go grab your cookie, grab some coffee, and then come right back in. And Steve and Katie are going to share about what God is doing. They're serving as missionaries in Niger, West Africa, and they're both medical missionaries. Amazing story of what God is doing through their practice. And of course, we believe that God is the great physician, don't we? And so they've seen a lot of healing and God just working miracles there in Niger. And so I want to invite you, maybe you don't normally stay for a connect group, today would be a great day to do that, because you'll have a snack and maybe even some coffee and come in and just hear about what God is doing there in Niger. I invite you to find your way to Psalm 128. Psalm 127 and Psalm 128 go together, and they're a part of a series of songs, really from Psalm 120. To Psalm 134 is a series of psalms that are called songs of ascent. Okay, ascending means songs of ascent. And the reason they're called songs of ascent is these songs would be sung on the way to Jerusalem three different times a year when they would go on their pilgrimage, maybe to the Feast of Tabernacles or Pentecost or Passover, the three different annual gatherings, festivals that oftentimes Jewish people would try to make. And so anywhere you come from, if you're going to Jerusalem, you're going to be going up. And so these are known as songs of ascent. Psalm 127 and Psalm 128 also bring us understanding this idea of like a family hymn, a family song. I'm not sure, but my assumption is there's not too many families in here that have a family hymn. Do you guys have a family hymn? I thought about trying to write one and sing it for you. Would you like to hear that today? I said I thought about it. I didn't do it. But it's interesting to me, this song. So even on your outline this morning, we have these quotes that we've been using as we're in this series, Missing Peace. And these quotes were from Steve and Shelley Switzer during our marriage conference earlier this year. And it says, conflict is inevitable. Do you agree with that? It's just no matter, and especially as today we're thinking in context of family, the home. Conflict is inevitable, but I love that. But combat is optional. Or conflict is inevitable, but peacemaking is intentional. And so as we're in this series, Missing Peace, we thought that, of course, on Mother's Day, we would have missing peace in your home. Now, this probably doesn't relate to your house, but maybe, just maybe, that you are, sometimes, you face some conflict in your home. I'm not asking you to agree or disagree. Like, everybody just keep looking straight forward. Don't, you know, sell your spouse out or whatever. I'm trying to help you here. When we think about this, so the title for the message is Shalom in Your Home. Can you turn the person next to you and say Shalom? Shalom. All right, turn the other way because that person felt left out. Shalom, all right? Shalom is really a greeting. It could be a greeting of hello, or a greeting of goodbye. And it really just means like peace be with you, or may it be well with you. It's a Hebrew word we see all throughout the scripture, this word peace. In fact, in the last phrase of the last sentence of our text is this word peace, shalom. So we want to have shalom in the home. And I could do a rap on that, I think, if I really wanted to. I don't think you want me to. Shalom in the home. But how, so how do we have that? It's just, I have this mental picture in my head. So again, as Psalm 127 and Psalm 128, they're part of the Songs of the Ascent. There's 15 of them. And they're particular, written and sung as like a family hymn. It made me think that when, I don't know about you, but how many of you have ever gone on a long road trip with your family? Is that usually measured, is that usually like a time of peace? Do you have shalom in the home when you're on a 12-hour road trip? Now, some of you don't even understand. I mean, when I was a kid on a road trip, we may not have air conditioning. We sure didn't have an iPad to entertain us, right? We had nothing except the brother or sister sitting next to us that we could get in a fight with. I have memories of road trips. Now, we had like a 1979 Oldsmobile, okay? I don't really remember what the outside of it looked, but what I remember is the inside back seat. Whew. That was a playground, right? Hey, you guys may not know this, all of you, you know, under the age of 30 or 40, those little metal devices and wedged in the seat there, we didn't even know what those were when we were kids. Right? They were optional. In fact, so most of my childhood, you know, from birth to like 12, it was just the three of us kids. I have an older sister who's 22 months older than me, and then I have a twin brother who's 6 minutes younger than me. And so for the three of us traveling in this car, what I remember about the seats, and I'm not even sure if this one depicts it, but I do see, you see the seams in the seat there? And when there's three of you in a seat, you're assigned so many seams. And how dare you let your leg cross into my seam? How many of you are tracking with me? You know what I'm talking about, right? Not only that, then I don't really remember how we chose, whether it was, you know, whoever hit the hardest. I don't know. Maybe my parents actually had some kind of system that I don't remember it. But when it was time to like, you know, we're tired of fighting each other and your leg is crossing my seam here, we would go to sleep. And there's three levels in this car in which we could sleep. How many of you realize there's three levels in the back seat of this car, right? So you had the floorboard, which, what did you have to deal with in the floorboard? You guys know, the hump. Some of you are looking at me like, what in the heck is he talking about? Do you see the hump in the seat? You can kind of see it. It's just, what was that there for? What is it? The transmission? Drive shaft. Okay, I don't know why I ask. I don't really care. It just seems like they could have figured out a better plan than that, right? I guess that's why it was so hot there. And then, so you might get the floorboard, you might get the seat, or you might get the back window, right? How many of you preferred the back window? I mean, it kind of depended on the temperature. When you're driving across the desert, you don't want that. Well, I don't know. The floorboard was stinking hot too. Doesn't that look like little John? It could be me. I tried to get AI to create a picture for me with the three of us in the back seat. You don't even want to see what those look like. That was crazy. So I just find it interesting that as they travel in a group with a family, they need a hymn. A hymn of blessing. So my mom, hello mom, happy Mother's Day. Can we all give my mother a happy Mother's Day welcome? Maybe my mom and dad should have tried to sing a hymn for us. It would have soothed all of our, in fact, they probably did. But let's look in our passage of scripture this morning and see if we can figure out how to have peace or shalom in our home. Now, just by way of illustration, how many remember when I brought this hula hoop out a couple weeks ago, right? It's not the same one, is it? You know why? It's bigger and it's also weighted. Because I read, you know, I'll be honest, I'm a very competitive person. If I can't do something, it really ticks me off. Can I get an amen? So I heard that if you had a bigger one, because I may be bigger, and it was weighted like an adult one, no problem. You want to see how good I'm at it now? Here's the truth. I stink just as bad as I did before. And I started thinking, I'm not going to go up there and show it again. I still stink. But I started thinking, look on your outline here. There's a quote. This is the quote we looked at a couple weeks ago. One of the best ways to improve, or maybe to have peace, is to draw a circle around yourself and begin changing everything inside that circle. It kind of hit me actually this morning as we were singing that last song, because I was still frustrated that I couldn't do this. And I'm surprised how many of you noticed that it's a different hula hoop. You're so observant. And I started thinking, it actually illustrates the point really well. Because I changed what I thought the problem was. And guess what? Guess who the problem was? You can say it. It's still me, right? I can change the circle, but who's in the circle? Who's the problem? It's you, not me. Verse 1, Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like the fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. And before we get into this quick, short outline this morning, I want to point out probably the most important thing that this is kind of a prophecy and foreshadowing of. In verse number 5, it says, the Lord bless you out of Zion. Zion is another word that is used interchangeably with Jerusalem. And this one sentence really is a prophecy that all the nations will be blessed out of Zion, out of Jerusalem. And who is this referencing? Jesus himself. Because I want us to make sure to understand that, of course, we're going to do some practical applications, how we can have shalom in our home. But the truth is, as we've said every week of this series, that peace is not possible without the Prince of Peace. And so even in this song of ascent, it points us to the true giver of peace, that is Jesus. And that when Jesus came, born of a virgin, and lived a sinless, perfect life, and then he willingly laid his life down and hung himself on the tree to pay the penalty of my sin debt, this scripture says, all the world will be blessed out of Zion. It is Jesus. So make sure that you understand that peace is not possible apart from Jesus. If you've never placed your faith for salvation and forgiveness of sins and eternal home in heaven, you must place your faith in Jesus. We understand that we can't have the peace of God unless we're at peace with God. And right here in this moment, you can be at peace with God by simply calling out to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So as we look at this passage, there is a secret here, right? So if you're taking notes, number one is the secret. The secret is right there in verse one. I love what it says, blessed, that means happy. I think we could interchange, like when we think about happy, when we think about fulfilled, we think about purpose, we think about being at peace. Even later there in the text, it says that it may be well with you, happy, all these words that denote this idea of blessed. Blessed is, what's the next two words there? Blessed is, what is it? Does that include you? Yes. Everyone. So what is the secret to peace? What is the secret to happiness? What is the secret to a fulfilled life? What is the secret to having shalom in your home? It says right here, one who does what? One who fears the Lord. The question you got to ask yourself then is that you? This is an attitude that I'm going to fear the Lord. It's not necessarily the idea of I'm feeling in terror of the Lord, although there is an aspect of that. It really leans to more to the understanding of I'm in awe of who God is. I'm going to have a reverence of the holiness and the goodness of God. And because God is so holy, I'm going to love what God loves. I'm going to hate what God hates. And I don't want to disappoint God, my Father. I'm in awe of who he is. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. In fact, Proverbs 1 and verse number 7, you might write it out there. I think it's on your outline this morning. Proverbs 1, 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The next one says, Proverbs 9, verse number 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life. He who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. The fear of the Lord is the secret to shalom. That I have a proper perspective of who God is. When I have a proper perspective of who God is, then it leads me to a proper perspective of who I am. Fear the Lord. So we see the attitude, right? The secret is that we'll fear the Lord. This is an attitude that leads to an action. Look at the rest of verse number one. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who does what? Walks in his ways. When I fear the Lord, when I love God with my heart, soul, strength, and mind, when I fear him as I should fear him, then I will naturally and out of the love and the overflow of my heart for God, I'm going to walk in his ways. Let's read a few scriptures again. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to, what is it? Fear the Lord. Walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord with all your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Verse number 11, and to keep the commandment, verse 13, excuse me, and keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today. Notice that last line. We're going to get back to this in a minute. And to keep the commandments of the Lord, his statutes, which I command you today. What's that last phrase say? Say it out loud. Does God give us boundaries, rules? I don't like that word. Boundaries and rules and commandments. And why does he do it? What does it say? For your good. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. 1 John 5, 3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not what? They're not difficult. They're not burdensome. And he's given us the purpose in which he has given us the rules. It's for our good. Now, as parents, we understand this, don't we? There's things we tell our kids when they're younger, maybe even when they're older, and we know that if they will just stay within the rules, if they'll stay within the guardrails, if they'll stay within the boundaries, it will be good for them. So the secret, fear and walk. And I want you to think back on that. I want you to remember that word. It's for your good. We're going to come back to that. So that's the secret, right? Fear God, walk in his ways. What's the scope? So this is a song of blessing. The family is singing a song of blessing that God has blessed them. And of course, this is first understanding that we fear God, we walk in his ways. What's the scope of his blessing? The first one there is your work. Look at verse 2. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. I heard this statement in regarding to this verse. God will give you enjoyment in your employment. I think sometimes we look at work as a curse because Adam and Eve sinned, we're cursed to work. That's not a part of the curse. They were working before the curse. Now, the fact that it's going to be difficult to work, that's part of the curse. But what the psalmist is, or the family is singing on their way to Jerusalem is that it is a blessing to work. The Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Let's get to work because I like to eat. I'm so thankful that my parents taught me at a young age to work. They didn't have to teach me to eat. I figured that one out. Work. I remember as a young, like 12, 13-year-old, riding the motor down to the street and pulling up behind my bicycle, and I wanted my own things. And my dad said, well, get your own money then. Enjoyment in your employment. That's a blessing of God. Verse number 3, we're under this scope of God's blessing. Look what it says in verse number 3. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants. That when we fear the Lord and walk in his ways, one of the blessings God can provide for us is a blessed marriage. I say this all the time. God's grace has been all over my life. I was a really ignorant, I'll use a nicer word, 19-year-old kid. When I looked across the cafeteria at the Bible college, and I thought, that girl is hot. And then it was like God sent the angels down. And I'm over, kind of staring while you're eating your nasty cafeteria food, but you don't want to get caught staring. You guys know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about, whether you agree or not. And this girl, Joy, walks across the cafeteria. And if you know Joy right now very, very well, that was an act of God, for sure. And she comes over and asks me, what are you doing this afternoon? I don't know, what are you doing? That's what I think, but the rest is history, right? What is the scripture say? Psalm 18:22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. I'm so thankful that as ignorant as I was at 19 years of age, God sent me a beautiful woman who loves God, who has been a fantastic mother to our kids. And I would say that in my life is a direct blessing of God. Now, I want to quantify this, that this passage of scripture is, again, in the context of a Jewish culture. In the Jewish culture, they placed a very high value on marriage and children. And it's talking about the blessing of marriage and of children. But this is not saying that the only way God can bless you is through marriage or children. If that were true, Jesus would not have lived a blessed life. Because Jesus did not get married, nor did he have children. Right, so I don't want just to sit here and think, well, if I'm not married and I don't have kids, then I'm not walking in God's blessings. This is not an exclusive list of God's blessing. I'm thankful that God chooses to bless in a lot of ways. But in the culture and in the context, this would have been the height of their understanding of what blessing was. That I'm gonna, in fact, I read a commentary this week that said that if a Jewish boy, young man, was not married, I'm not going to say anything. Just keep going. Fix what's in the circle. If a Jewish boy was not married by the age of 20, then he must be living in sin. So that's the culture and context in which it's written. Okay? This is not, so I don't want you to walk away and say, well, if I don't have this, I'm not blessed by God. That's not what it's saying. It's just talking to that generation saying, wow, the most awesome thing you could have is to be married and to have kids. The work, your marriage, and again, the third one is your children. Verse 3, read it again. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. I love that thought, the very heart of your house. That this may be a very slang way of saying this, but you guys have heard it said, happy wife, happy, right? She's the heart of your home. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Again, this is just a picture. When you think of, even in the context here, the fruit of the vine or the grapes or the wine or the olive that produces the oil, these were not things that were necessities. So it references, it pictures prosperity. It pictures the blessings of God. It pictures of living in the abundance of God. That's what Jesus said, that the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came to give you life and to give it more abundantly. This is what it's talking about, the blessings of God, the abundant life, this picture. But then it also pictures, when we think about how many of you enjoy or like my olive plant today? Okay, it's a trick question because it's not an olive plant, but I mean, some of you may know that. I would like to pronounce what this is. I'm going to try, okay? I guess you wouldn't know if I pronounce it wrong, would you? Let me spell it for you. S-O-L-E-I-R-O-L-I-A. Anybody got it? Solariolia. Yeah, that's perfect. Give me a hand, right? Now, the reason I ordered this plant, because actually one of the names for this plant is peace in the home. Peace in the home plant. If my mom would have known about these, these would have been all over our house. Peace in the home. I find it interesting. You know what another name for this plant is? It has lots of names. Peace in the home, but you know what another name of it is? Mind your own business. Maybe they go together, right? Kids, if you'll mind your own business, you'll have peace in the home. I don't know. But so this serves as two purposes today. It's an illustration, but also I thought, well, this would be a great gift for my mom, right? I mean, it's 35 years too late, but peace in the home on Mother's Day. But when you think about this, everything I've read about these, and I've read way more about this than I should have this week, talking about in order for this plant, an indoor plant, to grow and to thrive, it takes some work. It takes the right amount of water, the right amount of sunlight, not too much, not too little. You know, eventually it may take some pruning, and if everything goes well, then there'll be flowers that show up. Doesn't it picture for us parents what it's like to parent? I read this week that the olive branch, the olive tree, it takes 7 years to produce fruit. 7 years, parents, to produce fruit, right? But I want to just pause for a moment this morning and talk about this idea. Look at Psalm 127. I told you Psalm 127 and 128 go together. Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. You see, the blessings of God are those for those who fear the Lord and walk in his ways. And for this Mother's Day, as we think about, there's a lot of young parents in the room this morning. You ought to memorize Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Is God at the center of your home? Because if God's not at the center of home, I can assure you there won't be shalom in the home. The verse continues, unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It's just a great way to say, God, we need you. We said often that pride keeps us from prayer because prayer is declaring our dependence on God. Raising kids, we must declare our dependence on God. Verse 2, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Give it to God, that's what he's saying, and go to sleep. Verse number 3, behold, children are heritage from the Lord. Our culture doesn't quite resonate with that anymore. Many times kids are just seen as a burden, not a blessing. That's pretty evident in the millions and millions of babies that we've slaughtered. Roe v. Wade went into effect the year I was born. 52 years ago, we've been murdering babies because we don't see them as a heritage of the Lord. We don't see them as a blessing, but we see them as a burden. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Verse 4, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full. My quiver was full too, I guess. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Can I just point out something in verse number 4 real quick? Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Arrows need to be shaped. Okay, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, if you're raising kids, the arrows need to be shaped. And shaping takes some discipline and some direction. I love this thought. Arrows need to be shaped, and then they need to be sent. And they're sent out on purpose with a purpose. You see, as a parent, my kids do not belong to me. Who do my kids belong to? God. When they're good, they belong to me. When they're bad, they belong to Joy, right? That's what we usually say. Your kids, they belong to God. And God has entrusted my wife and I with, he entrusted us with two kids. Our goal was to shape them as arrows, to send them out, to live on purpose for God's purpose. Because they belong to God, not me. But in order to do that, it's going to take some discipline and some direction. It seems like culturally right now, discipline and direction don't seem to go with parenting very often. Have you noticed that? Don't shake your head, you're going to get in trouble. Right? Now, I'm glad some things have changed. I'm glad your three kids aren't sleeping in the back of an Oldsmobile up in the window and the floorboard and the seat. That could have been disastrous, right? I want us to think back to what it said in Deuteronomy. So, we're to model ourselves after God, correct? Does God give his children rules and boundaries and guardrails? And why did the scripture tell us he does that? Some of you were listening for our good. If God does that with his children, do you think maybe we should do that with our children? The scripture says that when I step out of line, what is God going to do? He's going to discipline me so that I'll get back in line, in the circle, right? If God treats his children like that, you think maybe we should treat our children like that? It's getting so quiet in here. It's funny because, you know, I first came to Hallmark in 1997. I was 24 years old, and we had one child at the time. He was 4 months old. And I knew how to parent perfectly at that point. And I would tell all the parents of teenagers, well, this is what you got to do. And if you do 1, 2, 3, you'll get ABC, right? And then life happened. I know less now than I did then. But it seems very clear to me that if God expects me to fear him and walk in his ways, and he's put guardrails up for my good, and if I step outside the guardrails, danger, 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 he's going to discipline me to get back in the guardrails. That seems like a pretty good plan for my kids, right? This is something I read many, many years ago. Rules without relationship lead to rebellion. Rules without relationship lead to rebellion. And there's been past generations that I'd say probably pretty heavy on that. Rules without relationship lead to rebellion. But the inverse of that is true. Relationship without rules leads to anarchy. You know what I see in a lot of homes today? Anarchy. The kids run the home. Mom, dad, that's your responsibility. Rules, here's another way to say that. Rules without love is a dictator. But love without rules is a disaster. And so what Psalm 127 is saying, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Children are not burdens to bear, but arrows to shape and to send. They're prepared with love, released with purpose, and aimed towards God's glory. The last thing in Psalm 128, the scope. It's your work, your marriage, your children, and the last is your nation. Verse 5, the Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Shalom be upon Israel. I love the imagery here, that you're like olive plants all around your table. You know, now that our kids are grown and gone, it's a big blessing when they come back and we get to sit around the table, because it's pretty rare now. But even this afternoon, I'll get to go to my in-law's house with my parents and my wife's parents, and we'll sit around the table. And what's even more rare is when we have the three generations sitting around the table. But you that have experienced that, isn't that just a blessing of God? But it comes to those who fear the Lord and walk in his ways. I don't have time to get to your homework today, so it's literally going to be homework, right? Read Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. It gives you four opportunities to train and disciple your kids. Here's what we believe at Hallmark. Mom, dad, grandma, and grandpa, whoever's raising the kids, we believe that you in the home are to be the primary disciple of your kids, not the church. The church is to come alongside and equip, step on your toes like I'm doing all morning this morning, and encourage and equip you to shape your kids like arrows and send them out for the glory of God. Today, we have an awesome opportunity. We have one of our graduates from last year, Kenneth Hess. He is a freshman at Southwestern Seminary. I guess it's Texas Baptist College is where he's a freshman. And he's going to go on a summer-long trip to Southeast Asia. Talk about shaping your kids as arrows and sending them out. That's a scary thing this morning. So here in a moment, I'm going to have you stand. In fact, I'm going to ask Marty and Garrett and the band to come up this morning. We're going to finish with a time of worship. But in just a moment, I'm going to have you stand. And we're going to, if you know the Hess family and you would like to pray over them, we're going to just kind of have a private moment with them this morning. So let me pray for you, and then we're going to sing. We're going to continue in worship. God, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for your grace in our life. Lord, for all that you have blessed us with. And Lord, I pray this morning that as parents, as grandparents, as members of this church, Lord, that we would do our part to shape and to send our kids to live, to fear you, and to walk in your ways. Lord, I thank you for all the moms in the room today. Lord, I pray a special blessing of comfort for all the people in the room who their mom's not here with them anymore. I pray that you would just bless them, strengthen them. Lord, we thank you for the privilege it is to gather in your name and to proclaim that grace is available through Jesus. I'm going to invite you to stand during this time of worship. You're welcome to come and pray at the altar. I'm going to ask Kenneth and his family, if you all want to just come down at the front, I'll meet you down there. And if you'd like to come lay hands on them and pray over them, then you can join us this morning as we worship through music.